Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning of Part 2. Thank you for supporting Prophecy Keepers Radio with your tax-deductible offerings to the Oklava Native American Church of the White Roots of Peace. Prophecy Keepers Radio.
This is Joss Ogonige, Will Bluewater, a 7th grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous plant-based native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. OCO, Ginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Yeah, and every day goes as far as you can come. And, you know, we're five family. None of us, most everybody, we're not rich. You know, most everybody's just, the opportunities came along. And
you mean everybody in your neighborhood doesn't drive a Lincoln Navigator?
I don't know anybody in the group who's got a car that's, you know, any younger than about 9 or 10 years old. Mm. Everybody's frugal, you move to the country and opportunities seem to happen. You know, you're not going to buy land on raw land on contract. In the city.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of deals where, you know, somebody's got some property and, you know, banks, you know, usually won't finance raw land. You got to sell it yourself. So you move to the country and things happen at the pace that things still happen in the country. Mm-hmm. And, I've seen some amazing things happen here. When our TV set blew up, well, we paid $5 for that one. It was a 20-inch TV, and somebody had taken two of them down to the junkyard because they couldn't figure out how to operate the remote. I'm not kidding, Robert. There was nothing wrong with those TVs. And we had this electrical fire here in mid-December, and then, the yard sales, the flea markets, I mean, everybody lives cheaply out there. Cost of living down here is 20% less than the rest of the country. If you're a smoker, it's heaven. You can still get, cartons of cigarettes here for less than $20. I'm talking Pall Mall filters. so even cheaper in Kentucky, you know. So it's really interesting. It's really been a real eye-opener because I was brought up in the burbs. You know, my dad worked for Donald Douglas in the 60s and became McDonnell Douglas and Martin Marietta and Grumman and all those, you know, aerospace companies. And I was brought up in the burbs, you know, and some of the same places you were, North Shore or Long Island. You know, I was going to Northport High School when they landed on the moon. And I wanted to get out of it, you know, and when I got out of college, I was still living in the burbs, you know, working for the Boy Scouts, you know, working in a, you know, in the city or, you know, the Inland Empire of California, or just couldn't break away from the city. And until you do, you won't. Until you decide you're going to go to a healthier place and you're just going to, well, as Confucius said, you know, it's a wise man that abandons his luggage three or four times during life. We just did it. We didn't let the things around us get in between us and going for our dream.
Well, it comes down to bring things back to grassroots.
Simplify
bring
our
things
lives.
Back to grassroots and realize that everything that industry is using all started in grassroots.
Yeah.
It all started in a small town. I was born in a small town. It all is all John Cougar Mellencamp. It all started with me and you and Mary Lou.
A dog named Blue.
And, you know, just deciding that we could have a dream and that we could do it. And that's the remnants of freedom that we still have here. Spiritually, something is happening. Something truly exciting is happening. And there's a new perception going on. There is a new perception being born from the conglomeration of older perceptions. And, you know, this is a great place for it to happen, and I believe that this is maybe why Spirit put everybody together in this melting pot called America. I've always called America a miracle. And everybody's learning how to be different and still be who they are.
Yep.
And we're learning how to work together through our social and spiritual beliefs and finding commonality. And we're seeing a lot of the old dogmas being laid down because people come here and they no longer have to practice the things that they practiced when they were over in the Middle East and they had to bow down every day at a certain time and do this certain thing and walk a certain way. And women don't have to wear a veil. That's a big thing, you know. And they can even go to school and get educated, become doctors and politicians, you know.
Yep.
So, like, you know, it's like the opportunity here, the opportunity for us as a people to grab onto this new consciousness is incredible. And getting away from the doom and the gloom, I see this every day. I see this with kids. I see kids with real bright eyes. I see kids that can talk multiple languages very easily. I see kids that are, you know, in the younger grades of grade school that have mathematical capabilities that are just like, wow, you know, okay, you know. I mean, so we're seeing this happen more and more. There are a lot of things out there that are being put together by people, natural elements, working with the crossing of old science and new science. Some of the new science may actually be old science, but we're seeing new products coming out to help cleanse our bodies, to help make us feel more energy, to make us healthier. There's new modalities to purify water, to create free energy. All of this stuff is all over the place. And it's coming up because we have to. You know, I mean, even up on the hill up there in Washington, they're even talking about we're going to run out of stuff. I mean, they're even talking about hydrogen cars now. They're talking about, you know, creating alternative fuel methods to take our dependency off foreign. They're finally starting to see what they beat people down with for a long time. And change doesn't happen overnight, you know. I remember that at Woodstock. We all thought that when we left Yazoo's farm, it was all going to be different, and it sure the heck wasn't, okay? But it does happen if you continue, if you persist.
Are you really that guy running around naked in that movie, huh? With a joint.
About that, I thought I got rid of all those. But, you know, it's now, we are making it happen. I mean, you and I are about to come out here with this, you know, we're just about ready now to come out with that health section on the web, which has many of these different new, they're not new, they're proven now, proven ways of natural achievement of better health and better living. You know, if we're going to live to 80 and 100, well, who knows if we're going to live to be 1,000? You know, we don't know. But what we know is if I'm going to live to be 80, I might as well feel good when I'm 60, you know. Why should I walk around with pain and all this other stuff if I don't have to? Why should I give half of my Social Security to meds, okay?
Yeah.
I don't need to do that, you know.
Something's going to happen that, I mean, this is really wacko. I mean, what could possibly happen? You know, it says in the Bible that the time will come when we will seek death and will not be able to find it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Think about that. They really wouldn't know what to do with how to fund Social Security then, would they? No way. Boy, that would throw a monkey wrench in everything, wouldn't it?
Well, what would happen if everybody went back and started growing vitri gardens, okay?
Yep.
Started growing their own food and they had a community farm where they got their own milk, goat's milk maybe, rather than cow milk, because cows are too genetically engineered now.
We got goat's milk.
But, you know, we started doing different things like that. We started to come up with almond, our own almond milk, our own rice milk. Hello, they still have rice in this country.
Sure.
Okay? Almonds are all over the place. They don't know what to do with the almonds in Sacramento up in that area, you know. And it's like, okay, so take the almonds, stop making almond milk, stop making it, you know. Everything that we need, the Earth Mother has always given us to replenish ourselves and to renew ourselves. She never, ever, ever said no.
Oh, yeah, we have so much rice around this area that they can't sell it. We're trying to, Mississippi Delta, they're trying to, Boot Hill, Missouri, they're trying to open up markets in Cuba.
Yep.
And it's really, really interesting.
And it's relatively simple to make rice milk.
Yeah, I like it.
Imagine if everybody started doing that. What would happen to the prices of food in the supermarket?
I love those Mexican rice drinks, and that are like they're all rice. They're like rice milk.
Right, right. So and they're all different fruit flavors.
Yeah, fruit flavors or cinnamon. Oh man, that's great stuff. That's great stuff.
And this is all stuff you can produce at home.
Yep.
This is all stuff you can produce on the home farm. The other thing you can produce on the home farm is organic seeds.
Yep. Yep, and our group...
Seeds that when you harvest the corn, you take 10% of the corn and you got enough for 5 people to grow corn next year.
Yeah, our group of 6 families are getting ready to invest $200-$300 worth of heirloom seeds. Betty and I are going to be upgrading our... we bought... Last year we had about 20 of these Rubbermaid storage bins. The Sterilite ones, the clear ones, well... Most of them are cracking now. We're finding out that we needed to go back to the Rubbermaid ones. And this year the new thing was the concept of an Earth box.
You know why they're cracking?
Well, because of the sun. And
you know why they're cracking?
Why?
Because they make them out of genetically engineered soybeans.
Oh yeah,
what they use to create the polymer. And they started creating that polymer because they were trying to find garbage bags and plastic containers that would break down over time inside the dumps.
Ah, interesting.
Okay. So now everyone went out, and there was a time you go out and you see all these soybeans, and soybeans are healthy. They were an alternative form of protein, this and that. And now people get them, and they're getting sick, and their livers are getting clogged and whatnot because they genetically engineered them, and they crossed them with different elements, and they created more of a polymer-friendly genetic to it so that they can make these things and that these garbage bags break down after a year or two and out there in the dump. And then they said, well, what else are you going to do with the rest of this stuff? So they started to make those containers you're talking about, okay?
Right.
And they also started to make some of the stuff that they use on cars. around the molding and the insulation,
yeah,
the stuff around the windows. So what happens is, if you're out in the desert, all of a sudden, 2 years later, your brand new car, everything's falling apart.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and it's like, you know, so that's where it's coming from. It's like, but you don't need to rely on industry to give you artificial stuff. You can make this stuff yourself, people. It's not that hard. It just takes reading a book and a couple of things, issues of popular mechanics, and start to ask questions. Use the internet for something else besides porn.
Yeah, this year we're doing things a little bit differently. We've got some of the, I believe they're 19-gallon Rubbermaid, and the only ones that really work is Rubbermaid because they have to have the thin lips around the edges. And anyway, I'll put a link up on the website on how to make these earth boxes, because really what they are is you cut out the recessed part of the lid, and that part, ends up down about 6 inches off the bottom, sitting on some, in the bottom of the bin on aquarium buckets, which allow water to flow through them, and then it serves as a membrane. And that lid, which was solid, now has about 81-inch holes in it. And put a 2-inch hole on one side of it, and you're going to run a 2-inch PVC pipe down into supply water. And then after you get all that air pressed, and then you throw the earth in, you know, your potting soil or whatever. And then you take what was left of the lid, which is now just a ring, like a canning lid ring, and use black plastic. And the black plastic, you know, goes over all of them. If you got 20 of them out on your front porch, like we'll have, the black plastic will shade them and prevent the breakdown from the sun. And then you just got to make sure there's enough water and fertilizer in there, and there is an overflow, which is up about 6 inches off the ground, just to make sure you don't get too much in there. That way the plants that are planted in these earth boxes are, they can feed and water when they want to. And you wouldn't believe the yield that people are getting, square-inch intensive gardening, you know, right on their front porch or in their house. You could bring them in the wintertime, grow herbs in the wintertime, and all kinds of neat stuff that we're messing around with. The next big hurdle we as a group have got to get into is our greenhouses. Of course, it's going to be a pretty big, because we're talking about
make them like domes.
Yeah, and because there's going to be wind, and that'll be
where he is.
Yeah, that'll be. But you got to have that special kind of UV-resistant plastic.
I remember in 1997 when I used to get up and talk to people about there were going to be these 200-mile-an-hour winds and stuff. I remember when this guy's really out there. Well, we've now surpassed that.
People. Oh yeah, the
straight line tornadoes.
No eyes was. We had one. We had one between here and where most people in the group live. You know, most people in the group live 6 miles south of town. Well, about 5 miles south of town, they had one of those straight line of tornadoes, a microburst they call them, apparently. And just all of a sudden, boom, 200-mile-an-hour wind just comes in and blows down the pole buildings and blowing off roofs, and just, you know, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And no eye said those things were going to happen.
Yes, she did.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
No eye said that a long time ago.
She sure did. She sure did.
That was Mary Summerrain's first endeavors into writing.
That's right. I sure love to get her on that show. By the way, Ian, for the future, we're going to Ian Jungold from Mayan Magix said he wants to do an interview.
Humboldt is ready to come on again.
Yeah, the fellow from
because we're doing a second Father Sky Mother Earth down there in September.
Oh, that'd be great. And
in conjunction with what he's doing.
You can just check the lineup. You can check the lineup on the website. We got quite a few guests. This show's starting to pick up steam. You know, another thing I was thinking about. You know, I think about taking this thing. You know, a year ago, you thought we might be able to get this thing, on the actual broadcast radio. But why don't we just do what a lot of people do? Put it on shortwave. You know, I mean, what would it take to do that?
Not that much.
We've, you know,
you just got to set up a shortwave transmitter.
Well, we've got the power.
You know,
out at our
and then it's a matter of, and it doesn't take that much to do shortwave.
Yeah, Dick Greenstone and his right where his goat pens are. We bought the farm. They had this 150 foot tower. It, you know, and somebody have to climb up there and clean off the vines and stuff. All that, I guess, maybe. But I guess it wouldn't take a whole lot just to flip a switch, you know, about 8, 9 o'clock at night, and start the recorder rolling and just let it play every night.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I couldn't do it here, you know, from my house. But if anybody out there's got a shortwave set up, they want to donate. We'd love to have it, and because we've got the tower, and there's a lot of people that are on shortwave out there. There's people that have done a lot. They did a tremendous amount. A lot of people are listening to shortwave.
Let the wind blow. Let the truth be known.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place, so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
To all mankind again, Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper, oh yeah.
I got quite a few people from your area in Texas tune in when I was broadcasting off shortwave.
And we're high here. We're 1,000 feet elevation. We're in the middle of the country. And I think we do real well here broadcasting off shortwave. Dick's place is actually at 1,300 feet because he's kind of down in a hole. And but shortwave's gifts, it would move out. I don't think the terrain would cause that much of a problem. But, I was thinking maybe that'd be the next step for us, just
that'd be a good way to go.
Taking on a shortwave.
That'd be a good way to go. And right now, you know, I haven't got negotiations finalized yet, but there are some people who want to offer us 2 hours cable space.
Wow.
On one of those cable networks.
Well, I'm carving
so people getting, you know, we're getting cable into their house or satellite can pick up on
super,
that.
Super. Well, I'm going back over all the interviews. I'm carving up. That's what I've been doing this week, and I'll be doing the next 2 weeks. Every past interview is going to be carved up into 18 and a half or less minutes, between 17 and a half, 18 and a half minute segments. And that way they can be played with, they can be downloaded easier. That way if somebody's listening to an interview, there isn't somebody else pulling on the same interview. They'll be on the, you know, if they started the interview 15 minutes ago, they're listening to a different clip, so it's going to make it for it's just very, very time consuming and into some technical things that are interesting. But in the next couple of weeks, we'll have it all done, and we're doing what we can do to take Prophecy Keepers forward, and we're
2 years ago I did a television show, and on the television show because. You know, the other side of my life is I'm this crazy archaeologist. And I was showing people some of the technology that we picked up from inside these chambers or underground caves. I guess old caves are underground. But when they become a system of caves and they become a small city and there's architectural structures inside, you know, and there's all this writing on the walls and writing on plates and things, and you're going through all these things wondering, what in the world is this? Where did this come from?
Oh, anyway, you were running around with three eagles, weren't you, then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we play once in a while. He and I play.
Yeah, yeah.
And we came up with a based upon the Native American patterns that we see and are very familiar with on blankets and throughout the Southwest, and some of the Mayan glyphs, we began to realize that what we were looking at was almost like a schematic. And so we started to play with that idea, and then we moved it to, well, what if these things, what were these discs, so to speak, for? And
like the ones they found in China.
We started playing with them, and we used lodestone magnets. And we recreated the patterns. And lo and behold, we had two discs. And I couldn't bring the apparatus in, but I brought the films that we took of it in operation. And lo and behold, we had this 4 foot wheel, two wheels made out of plywood and magnets. And we put it on a turnstile, like a wheel, like a spoke, okay? And we followed the patterns to precise exactness that they were, the designs. And lo and behold, what we had were two discs that floated on top of each other. They never touched each other. The magnetics caused them to repel each other. And it was in a series of north-south segments of the magnets. In other words, in one segment, you had all magnets pointing north. The poles were going north. And then in the other segment, you had the reverse. They were going south. It sort of looked like a maze, a labyrinth. It's kind of hard to explain in words. But if you think about the way that they had the old patterns with the little triangles and the lines and the G design, the G force moving around, and what this thing did. But first we were amazed at the magnetics that it stood off each other. There was no friction. And then once you turned it, it started to turn perpetually of its own force. Okay? And then through the metal tungsten turnstile, it produced electricity. The same electricity. This is a 4 foot wheel. And it produced the exact same amount of energy as a Honda generator, okay?
About 1,500 watts.
4,000 watts.
Oh yeah, that much, really?
You can run a lot of things off it, and we're still working on trying to figure out how they made them. But everybody out there can get one of these things and put it in their, and build it in their barn for crying out loud, and you can run your whole farm off it, okay?
Huh.
It's free energy, and it's, you know, it's the gift of the grandfathers. This is how they illuminated their cities. And there's a lot more to the story. We can go into it one time. I mean, like, they all had these round areas inside the big cities, and you wondered, or was it a fountain? What was it, you know? And yet there was no way, seemingly, for water to get to it, okay? So, I mean, they didn't have underground plumbing and things that brought water down to it.
Have you ever seen that? Just night before last, I was watching this History Channel UFO thing about in China. They said about 100 years ago, somebody in some cave purportedly found some alien-looking skull, but they also found some discs that were about an inch thick, maybe an inch and a half hole in the middle, about 9 inches. And they found a whole bunch of these things. And anyway, after they were kept hidden for a while, and then somebody from... Well, interesting, because
You mean the Dropper stones?
Yeah, the Dropper stones.
Dropa,
that's right.
Yeah.
And they talked about the similar shaped UFOs have been seen during. I mean, that's really interesting. And then I guess after the Cultural Revolution, right after whoever from this country went over and contacted. Anyway, the curator and the stones both disappeared from the museum they're being kept at in Beijing. And really interesting when you start talking. And then there's a story of my friend, his name was Dell. He was a mixed blood Cherokee by the name of Badger. Where back in 1959, he was out in the Utah desert. Dell, that story, because he was eventually... Anyway, he ran across a strange-looking woman standing out in the middle of the desert, and she turned out to be a watcher whose ship had crashed, and anyway, got involved in a scenario where he was, he became caretaker of a box that had 1,000 of what we would recognize now as these mini CDs, mm-hmm. When he told me this story, there were no CDs. We're talking 15 years ago, 1990. He said you take these little shiny disc things, a little hole in them, and put a little spindle. You put a little arm on that shot a little red light down at them, and then you put this thing over your head and flip some dials, and he says, and it would just download all these schematics and stuff into your head. And that's a wacko story, but it's true. I met after going to his place for about 2 years, went over there one day, and there was a guy sitting in the yard I hadn't met before. He introduced himself and pulled out of his pocket, he pulled out a FBI retired badge.
Mm.
And he says, hey, you know, what Dell's telling you here is true. He says, I was special agent in charge here in Salt Lake, and when he was going through all that stuff, because he was constantly being kidnapped by the government, and they were trying to find out what was going on with him. But this watcher named Ayelawan had programmed him that if he ever gave away the secret, his heart would stop beating. So it was a
wow,
really interesting story. And it was written up years and years ago in the UFO magazines. But anyway, yeah, it was. So there's something about these discs, and the rumor is that CD technology is something that
very old.
Yeah, something that we got from back engineered from crash discs.
And with that, can we take 2 minutes here?
Take all the time you want.
Give me 2 minutes. Thank you.
I got to go pee pee myself. Pee pee break.
commercial breaks come in handy.
The pause that...
Okay, we can go for another hour.
Okay.
I have come across many different types of discs like that, that have information that can be... And they're made out of very thin metal. Very thin metal. Gold, silver, copper. It requires labs that I don't have at my access to probably really explore them. But this one series, we found out about these generators that move. They power themselves. They're self-powered, and they create electrical energy. And this answered a lot of questions to me when I used to go inside some of these old temples and pyramids and things, in these old caves, and there was never any sign or indication of soot or anything else on the ceilings, okay? You know, when you burn things, you get, it's like, you know, if you burn a candle, you get that black smoke that comes up the top.
Sure.
And if you leave it in the same place in the room for a while, you're going to get a black spot on the ceiling, okay? Well, there was never any indication of that, so I figured out how they, at least part of the process of how they illuminated, or at least powered what it was that illuminated these underground chambers. Anyway, people went quite wild. There's a couple of people who've been working with it now and want to come up with some ideas. I always wanted to make a small one and walk into Bill Gates' office and say, I got something new from Microsoft.
Yeah. Well, do you think...
You put this little pack, this little CD player in your room, and you can power your own computer, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if they figure out how to do it wirelessly.
Well, with the technology we have today, I don't think that would be that hard, you know? Just experimenting, you know? One of the projects that we're working on right now, which I told you a little about, it's a little complex. It's about, I'm about to go into some biohazardous cleanup projects. And we found the technology to go into old mines and reprocess their tailings, take out all of the toxicity, separate it. A lot of that stuff can be sold back to the industry. And the soil that comes out of it by recycling strange things like egg cartons, newspapers, all the stuff that they dump in the city dump, we've created a type of soil that totally is fertile, black humus. So that you can now take these tailings, mix it with these tailings, and these tailings now become food for tired soil, tired farms.
You know, that's exactly what Bishop Coyle prophesied would have. You haven't been reading the Dream Mind story, have you?
No.
Well, this is interesting because he said that the Dream Mind is the biggest social movement of the Mormon Church in Utah, other than the church itself, because was a bishop that was shown a certain mine that was a repository for some of the treasures that were brought up, because we know they got at least as far north as Kanab, and after that they kind of disappeared. And anyway, this old
who got
mine,
as far north as Kanab?
Well, yeah, the
who?
Spanish Fortune.
Brigham Young? Brigham Young?
No.
Who got as far north as Kanab?
Moctezuma's treasure.
Oh, okay. You're talking about like the Aztecs. Okay.
Right, and the location on the old Spanish maps, the location, you know, between Water Canyon and Spanish Fork River is called the Lost Utah Mine. And, you know, back in the 1800s, there were some Mormon cowboys that were fighting some Indians, and they ended up, you know, running up Water Canyon and almost fell into this cave, and, you know, one of them walked out with a rock, you know, as big as your fist with more gold in it than it had anything else. But anyway, you're familiar with Mormon lore, you know, there's the three, there were three disciples from the Western Hemisphere that chose to tarry until Jesus returns. And these guys are around, and they showed Bishop Coyle, you know, what was inside this mountain, which was records and treasures and so forth and so on. But he said the biggest byproduct would be the soil rejuvenator that would be a byproduct of the tailings of the mine. He says it would be worth more than the gold. So now you're telling me that...
Well, the hardest part was for us to get scientists to sit down and actually look at what we did, okay? It's like they look at us and their eyes would get big and they roll it back, you know. And then it was a matter of, okay, so now you got a program like this, and you really can't do this with $100, you know.
Yeah.
But how do you get government subsidy or grants to make it worthwhile to do this on a larger level so that you can show that you can do an entire area? I mean, and I guess, you know, we're going through such depletion of the soil and overproduction and chemical farming and all this stuff now that we are at a very desperate place, okay? And now they're starting to listen. And mining, of course, that's like, you know, the one of the three oldest professions in the earth.
Yeah.
And especially over the last 150 years, it was all this massive amount of, you know, huge volume. It was, you know, 50 zillion tons of gold and dig a tunnel and a hole that's 5 miles deep, you know.
Yep.
And we'll just put a lot of mercury and a lot of, you know, cyanide on it, and it'll work.
Look inside the rainbow, look inside the heart. Deep in the mountain stillness, echoes of another time, let the wind blow.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide. And then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Let the wind blow, let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy Keepers, Prophecy Keepers.
As a result, we now have vast areas that are dead. That the trees don't grow, the plants don't grow. There's no animals. There's no microbe life in the soil. It's all so heavily toxic that you can't do anything with it. And the other thing is, we can no longer produce the volume of food that we used to, and it's not healthy because we've totally screwed up the environmental balance. So you're getting all this food, and the only thing you can grow in it is genetically engineered food, because it doesn't know how to assimilate the elements properly.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, we're on the down line of the food chain, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you grow wheat, you grow flour, who eats it? You know, us. So, you know, now we're growing up, and we don't have the abilities. A lot of people are sick. They're cancerous. They have all these mental problems, immune systems, mental deficiencies, and enormous, what people don't realize is the enormous amount of birth defects. I mean, it's astronomical, okay, that are occurring now because of all these supplements and chemicals, never mind the drugs and the other stuff that everybody's taking. But there's an enormous amount of that. And the thing was that we finally got some ears to listen to it, and we're actually in the process right now where we're having several locations checked out to see that they hold the elements that we know. And all of this stuff, all of this information came from either the ancient text of the Bible, the ancient Sumerian texts, or the ancient Mayan texts. This is where we got this information. I mean, it's been right there in front of us, okay?
Oh, wait, we got an invitation out to Zechariah Fitchin to come on the show.
Yeah, we can do that. Zach's a funny guy. Sometimes he will, sometimes he won't.
If we do that, I'd like you to interview him. He's one of those scary guys, you know.
One of those scary guys. He's just an old stodgy guy.
Well, I
made the mistake once of talking to somebody who was referring to the pyramids as a tomb, and I said, well, you have to understand the nature of these tombs, and Zechariah flew off.
Yeah.
They are not tombs! And I said, I'm sorry, Zach, I made a mistake.
I mean, when I picture him, I can see these, he's got, you know, 1 pound eyebrows about that either.
Yeah.
I have to keep his eyes open. I'm going, oh my gosh. You know.
Another guy you might like to have on sometime is Lawrence Gardner.
Yeah,
I talk to Lawrence all the time, so I can talk to him.
How about his friend, the Prince?
The who?
The Prince.
Charlie?
Well, no, the other one.
Okay.
It is for.
I could get Margaret on before I could get Charles.
Now talk about the up in Scotland. Sir Lawrence's friend, though. Oh, maybe you don't know who I'm talking about. I can't remember who he is.
Not right now.
He's the one that I guess he claims that it was his family that
the direct lineage to the Magdalene. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his. I think it's. Having a senior moment, but yeah, he's a friend of. There's a link.
Churches came out and told us that was all blasphemy.
Yeah, there's a link from Sir Lawrence's website.
You know,
he'd be a hoot to get on that. But I'll tell you what, I'm really going to start looking at the shortwave thing because there's got to be a cheap way to do this, and you know, shortwave is not that expensive, and you got.
No, it's just not everybody's got a shortwave receiver.
Yeah, but there's. I mean, look at all.
But you can get them used at the Army surplus stores. All
well, time. Shortwave receivers, you know, the Beijing.
Like $20, you know.
Yeah, Beijing, they receive shortwave.
Yep, all Beijings receive that.
And there's a lot of people that have shortwave, and there's, you know, thousands and thousands of people in the Patriot movement. I mean, anybody that's getting a word out about 9/11 or anything that's kind of underground, they're all on shortwave.
So you know those wing nuts?
Yeah. Knob twisters, actually.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, well, there's definitely strange things going on. There's a lot of policies of denial. But in between, you know, like we're discussing just in a very brief little snippet here, there's all these incredible things that are really going on. So there, to me, there's a lot of excitement going on, you know. The Greeks were the ones who always, you know, wanted to perpetuate chaos because through chaos you had creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unless people get sick, they're not going to do anything to make themselves well. And if all they got to do is, you know, walk down to the local Walmart, see the little local RN that's down there and say, I have this, and she says, we'll take this, which happens in a lot of places now. Do you know that?
Mm.
You go into Walmart and there's an RN that gives you a prescription.
Are you kidding?
No, I still go, wow, okay. You know, don't you do, you know, prognosis?
Look, yeah.
At least take a blood test or an urology test or something to tell me what's going on with these people.
The RN or what are they called, PCs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, there are incredible things going on. I know that you are working with those patches.
LifeWave energy patches.
And I've heard remarkable things about them. As a matter of fact, they just sent me some. And somebody in the company said, here, you got to try this. So here's 60 days. So I said, okay, you know, because I guess I got that reputation that I come from Missouri.
Well, I'll tell you what, when Betty put them on.
If it all works, you better show me.
I mean, she's 60, and she couldn't do what the 80-year-old gals were doing down at the Y. Day one. Day two, she walks in with, you know, and after doing the exercise, she can only walk on the treadmill for 3 minutes. Then she goes in the next day, keeps up with the 80-year-old gal doing the exercises, and then goes and does 10 minutes in a breeze and on the treadmill, and she was in a hurry and had to leave. And then she didn't realize until after she left just how well she did.
Uh-huh.
She came and said, wow, you know, and of course, I'm in the George Hopkins is in my upline. Catherine Nickel, who's a wonderful gal out in California, and she's real active with the Western Shoshone, and she's the one that introduced me to George. And it's amazing technology. Now, and it's just, all it is just organic material that sits in a pouch on your skin. It's not transdermal. The way they explain it is it's kind of like body software. It gives commands to your pituitary gland, which is your master gland. You know, you wear them on your left and right shoulder. You know, white on the white patch on the right and brown on the left. And you wear them for 4 days on, 3 days off. And there's they came into the fore back during the Olympics when the Olympic swim team was all wearing them one day, and there was this big flurry. Well, what's going on here? Is this a drug? And so forth and so on. But there was, you know, right after that. Well, I understand 80% of all the LPGA golfers are using them. There's
mm-hmm.
There's one football team, you know, I believe in North Carolina, that will not practice without them. So
wow.
There was some really interesting stuff. If you go to on my website, I've got a little box that lists everybody that's been on the show in the last year, and at the bottom it says, you know,
roll in that little box, huh?
Yeah, brought to you by LifeWave.
That box must be crowded, Otter.
And if you click on LifeWave, what? I don't have to get a link on the.
Am I next to Red Elk?
Yeah, oh yeah. And if you click on
how's Red Elk doing? Good.
He's doing pretty good. Anyway, I've got you can listen to a half hour show about LifeWave. I'll get a link up to that.
Well, it's worth people looking at.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
The other thing that I got to get you to start making some people aware of is this product called Shigoi. And Shigoi is an old native term. And what it is chaparral.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now they come up with a process. But the problem with chaparral is if you didn't take it exactly right, there was a toxicity issue involved. And they have now found a process by which they naturally develop it and cure it. And it gets rid of all the toxicity. We've seen remarkable, absolutely remarkable results with this, with people who have diabetes, with people who have HIV. It just gets rid of all that stuff.
And also
arthritis and joint pains.
Well, a fellow by the name of, he wrote a book called Own Your Own Body, and I'll remember his name here in a minute. Stan Malstrom, M-A-H-L-S-T-R-O-M, naturopath out of central Utah. And Stan had a decoction that you could cook up called C-A-C-T or cap tea. And when I went through this cleanse, and what it is equal portions of red clover. I think, as I recall, is a half cup each of red clover, alfalfa, and chaparral. Mm-hmm. And you pour on a quart of water, boil very slowly for 20 minutes. Then you pour off the water, then you pour another quart of water on, and so forth. Boil very slowly for 20 minutes. You repeat this four times. And then you put it all in a milk jug, add enough water to equal a gallon, again, because you get some that's going to boil off. Put it in the fridge and drink, I think it's either a quarter cup or half cup a day until it's all gone, which is usually 2 weeks. And 2 weeks after I did that 15 years ago, and the person that taught me about this was Robert Three Eagles, the entire outer... I guess it's the epidermis.
Right.
My skin turned to powder and sloughed off, including the little. I have a couple spots above my right nipple that I'd had a skin cancer there for years and years and years. It totally disappeared. Well, skin cancer started to come back there a little bit. It's not bad as it was, but I figured, hey, it's time for another CACT cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to have one of those $15 home coffee processors that you can get
made out of steel, not aluminum.
Yeah, you can get it from with high speed blades. You can get it from Walmart, and you just process the chaparral so it's a fine powder. But actually, if you do decoction, you don't even need to do that because the rest of the herbs, red clover.
Oh, see, these people can do the shigari now, and they don't have to fear for the toxins.
Yeah. With red clover and alfalfa, you don't have to worry at all.
Now, when you say red clover, you're talking about sweet clover.
Yep, red clover. Red clover and alfalfa.
The old term used to be sweet clover because you could smell it. It smelled almost like sweet grass.
Oh yeah, and it's here in another 2-3 weeks, it's going to be all over our yards here. I was trying to buy some last 2 weeks ago, and I thought, well, and then we were out of it. And I figured, well, shoot, by the end of March, the lawn here is going to be covered with them. So I figured.
So what is in this concoction?
Red clover, equal
red clover,
equal parts of red clover. We're talking about a half a cup each. Red clover, alfalfa, which is like those are the two kings of herbs anyway, and chaparral. And so you got three blood purifiers.
Uh-huh.
And you decoct them or slowly boil them in a quart of... You keep the herbs, you just keep decocting them with a quart of each time of pure water until you do that four times. And then you throw the herbs away, add enough water to make a gallon, chill it overnight, and, drink half a cup a day. I think it's twice a day you drink half a cup a day. And it tastes really nice. It tastes sweet, because of the clover.
And the alfalfa.
And,
uh-huh.
Yeah, and they say that if you don't like the taste, you don't need it. But I haven't met anybody that didn't need it. I know Three Eagle's son, he was looking pretty pale. They kind of wondered whether he had leukemia the kid was just white as a sheet, and, he's probably 18 or 19 now, but he was looking pretty sick, and they put him through that, and that's back before Cyrus was born, but this is the older one that's about 19 years old now, I guess.
So this is essentially a blood purifier.
Yeah, oh yeah, big time. And
yeah, which gets rid of 90% of the toxicity.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, when your entire dermis turns to powder and sloughs off, it really gets your attention.
Yeah, so there are wonderful things happening, aren't there?
Oh man, I mean,
and I think that it's just a matter of people getting into it, and I think we have to really start to focus on getting that site up there with all these incredible things that we've seen to prove themselves.
I mean,
they're proven already.
$6, you know, to do them. And that's enough for that. Actually, a gallon's enough for two people for 2 weeks. Yeah, it's a quarter cup twice a day till it's gone. Two people for 2 weeks, as I recall. Yeah, I couldn't find the recipe on the net, but I'll go find. I know somebody that's got On Your Own Body. I'll have to get it up there. And the other thing we like to do in the wintertime is equal portions of cayenne, garlic, golden seal, and echinacea. And you just encapsulate that, you know, and the big triple zero. You go to the health food store, buy yourself a little encapsulator for $15 and buy $2 or $3 worth of capsules and make equal portions of it. And you take that, I can't remember the frequency, but you take it for, a week at a time and you lay off for a week or two, and it's a fantastic immune booster. It'll keep you from getting sick in the wintertime.
So, we're going to have to do a show sometime, because I'm finding a need to do this.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
There was an article in the Oakland Times the other day, a few weeks ago, and some minister of the Christian faith, one of the departments, sects, refused to have a native man perform a sacred pipe ceremony.
And it was a Lakota Baptist church. It was a Baptist church in Oakland that started up, I guess, back in the 50s or 60s, because the white Baptists wouldn't let the Indians come to their church.
Yeah, well,
they wouldn't let them do their own ceremony.
Anybody go to my site, robertgoswolf.com, and there's a section up there called Golden Braid. What the Golden Braid is about, it's about the Native American perception of the Christ. And simply put, I'm an ordained Christian minister, and I do sweat lodges, and I smoke sacred pipe, and I've done ceremonies with elders all over the world. And I have a lot of compassion and pity for someone with that small mind who does not understand that our ways cross. They've always crossed. They've crossed for thousands of years.
You're the captain.
So one day it would be good to get a show to bridge both factions together again, you know, to just talk about it. Because the only thing that mankind has to fear is ignorance. And the only blasphemy in the world is the embracing of ignorance. Because once we can move beyond those walls, we get to understand the bigger picture of what it was really all about.
If we can know your wisdom, teach us what you can. There's a mighty dark cloud hanging overhead, oh yeah, hanging overhead.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something. And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Let the truth be known for all mankind again. Let the wind blow. Let the truth be known.
And then we'll see a healing, you know. And this is part of what I am going to bring to people up at the Father Sky, Mother Earth in Montana on the summer solstice.
Well, on my website now, on the left-hand side of all pages, there's a link for Native American. It says, Who Are We? And there's three links. One of them is Native American Religious Freedom. And describes, you know, what was illegal, what up until 1979, I guess it was, you weren't allowed to legally do a sweat lodge ceremony, much less a sun dance, you know, even though there were those that did, like Ed McGaw, who's been a guest twice, but you know, there are a lot of people out there who are Native Americans, mixed blood Native Americans, and you don't have to have a card with any tribe to exercise Native American religious freedom. All you got to do is make an ID card in camera, which just means in private, thanks to Senator Daniel Inouye. It's the most liberal act of Congress that's ever come down the pike. And you do lots of interesting things with that card, including wildcraft herbs on federal property. You just got to let the authorities know. So here's my Native American religious freedom. We did it over here at Ozark Waterways. Just walked in and introduced myself. I'm so-and-so. Here's my Native American religious freedom card, ID card, that identifies myself as a Native religious practitioner. And showed them a copy of the U.S. code. They said, okay, no problem.
Yep, the doors are opening.
Yep.
So we just got to keep walking the peaceful path and keep the things moving. It's been a long time coming.
Now, they're getting hassled down at Monataca by the new superintendent, and because Hot Springs, you know, some of the people say, well, the Indians never went in there. Well, it's not that they never went in there. It's just that they didn't go in there to stay, and they didn't leave their trash there.
Uh-huh.
And so there's still resistance to ceremony, and they've been hassling those people down there for a while.
It's a lot easier now than it was 50 years ago.
Yeah, well, they would rather them not be doing things, and they're always buzzing around with their lights on when they were standing bears trying to do ceremony. It's just generally been making life kind of miserable for them. But things are, the other, you know, prisons, you know, Native American prisoners do have rights, but the way the law is written, you know, it leaves it up to the warden as to whether or not that person's, the way the law is written, it says, well, it has to be sincere, you know. Well, you know, you know, read my mind, you know. So the way the laws are written, there's some weaknesses in them. There's some ambiguity, but Native American Religious Freedom Act was a big step in the right direction. And, you know, I guess with the decision in Utah over peyote, I mean, the last place in the world I ever figured that the state Supreme Court would uphold the use of peyote for
religious ceremonies.
Yeah, you know, but for non-Indians. Uh-huh. You know, I guess they figured, the equal protection, they get in trouble over equal protection. So we haven't heard the end of Supreme Court decisions over peyote yet.
Well, I'm not going to get into a political thing, but I will say this. The Mete people, the mixed blood people, are the largest tribe in the world.
That's right.
And it always has been that way here.
That's right.
It has been that way since the farther back we go in history, the farther back I go back in archaeology, the more I see the crossing of the cultures.
Cherokee have always been four-colored. We've always had the red hair.
They wear those funny hats.
Yeah, wear their turbans.
Turbans, yeah.
The only place we could have gotten those from, really, they figure that we probably got those from Turkish sailors, because if you look at the way a Cherokee was dressing in, say, 1720, they dressed exactly like the Turkish sailors or Zouaves were dressing. If you go to the Turkish Naval Museum, with the little vests and the embroidery and the fluffy pants and the turban. And
well, out here you had a lot of Basque people.
Yeah, the Melungeons.
They wore turbans.
So-called Melungeons were Turkish and sailors. Some of them were dubbed off, by Sir Francis Drake. That's pretty early. So, yeah, the Basques,
Well, they were sheep herders, nomads.
Yeah, that's right.
And goats and sheep. And there's even been bones found, very old bones of very old, large dogs. And what I think those dogs were Great Pyrenees.
Yeah.
Because they came from that part of the world.
Yeah, they sure did.
And, they're all over the Southwest, going all the way up into northern Utah, southern Montana. They're all over Arizona, New Mexico. There's about four or five old Basque settlements right here, and it's amazing how they built them. They're very Celtic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the way they were built, the architecture and everything, and they were usually either built like berm or subterranean berm houses, earth houses, okay? Stone and wood and clay. But, man, they go back. They go all the way back to before the Spanish were here,
Yeah, they've got new settlements all over the country, southern Oregon and Utah. They're all over the place. Any place there are sheep. And the Great Pyrenees dog, that's the gold standard. If you run sheep, man, well, there are a lot of Great Pyrenees around here, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the Ozarks. Those are good dogs. Dick Green.
It's one of the oldest breeds in the world.
Yeah, Dick Greenstone had one for years and years and years. Pico, she finally died. She was the funniest dog. She every night around sundown, she never said a peep. Even when people came around that were like intruders, but every night around sundown she'd walk around the farm. She'd go, who, And their job was over for the other 24 hours. She chased away all the deer and all the bad people, and she'd go lay down again. But
yep.
I'll tell you what, they're good dogs for if you're running sheep or any kind of stock, I guess.
They're good. They're intelligent. They're gentle.
Very.
They're loyal. They're very human orientated.
Slobber all over you.
And yeah, they slobber all over. Sometimes they have the non-drill type, like Saint Bernard.
Non-drill
type. But they're just they're an old mountain dog. That's what it is.
You talking about the big white ones?
The big white ones.
Yeah.
The big white ones with those big teddy bear eyes.
They look like them. They look like sheep. Dogs.
Yeah, well, they were. Their main deal was to be able to stay off bears. Because we used to have a lot of bears in this country once.
Yeah, and wolves and coyotes. Mm-hmm. And, they're something else. Another good dog breed is the border collie. I've seen border collie run full speed, 30 miles an hour, but in a crouch, run up to a coyote and clip its jugular vein and just trot away while the coyote's dying. I've seen that. Here in the Ozarks.
Yeah, they're pretty quick. I got one of those.
Smart. Oh, yeah?
I have a border collie.
They're smartest dog. Number one smartest
And they're always herding. They're always herding everything.
Always herding something. After that, a standard poodle is supposed to be the second smartest.
Yeah, dog. I saw that once. I had a guy over in the northern portion of Oregon over there, and northeast portion of Oregon, and he had cattle. He had about, I don't know, 6,000 acres, and he had cattle.
Was he running?
And he let these standard poodles out. And, man, they were incredible. They're incredible.
Huh. Well, they're working dogs.
Huh?
They're a working breed.
Yeah,
although I can know
the standard
is a species. Yeah, the miniature is a non-working breed. But standard poodle's a smart dog, a water dog.
They're the yuppies of the poodle breed, I guess.
Yeah, they're bred for water, also. They were used for hunting. And they're not the jittery, neurotic, you know, dogs the miniature poodle is. That's almost as bad about biting you as a chihuahua is, you know. And folks out there, you know, this is the kind of stuff that back to the Landers talk about when they get together. The best dog breed, you know, where's the cheapest place to get kerosene this week or month? Oh, gee, I run out of wicks, and, you know, I got to put in my year supply, and, you know, it's the kind of stuff, you know, you stuff into your head when you're talking about being any kind of self-sufficiency. It's stuff you got to learn, and you learn you got to get the Lehman's catalog and Homesteader's Warehouse and all that other kind of stuff, you know.
So I've been getting a lot of letters lately, and part of what I was saying before, next time we get together, let's talk about Pale Prophet.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because there's a lot of people who are really wanting to understand the story.
Yeah, that's a big, big story. It is.
Oh, it's an incredible story. There's no end to that story.
It is. Of course, you know.
It's a wonderful story because it's real.
Well, you know, all you got to do is read your Bible. Jesus told them, I guess, at Gethsemane, he said, hey, you know, they've rejected us here. And he told them, you know, go not to the Gentiles or to the house of Israel. He says, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you got all these stories. You know, we've got a link to He Walked the Americas at the all the way down the bottom of any of our pages on the left-hand side. It says He Walked the Americas. The book is online. You can read that. It tells the story of the Pale Prophet and with his 100 different names and all the stories published. Lord Kingsborough bankrupted themselves in the 1720s, running down the story, and then a woman back in the 40s, 50s researched.
Well, it's amazing how much money they spend on lies and how little money they spend to support truth.
Yeah, it is amazing.
You know, so most of the people do this kind of work. They're doing it on their own. They're self-financed, and you know, the world needs to know that their work is appreciated, and they need to know.
Yeah, they sure do.
You know, because it takes a lot of digging, so to speak, to get to the bottom of what really might have happened.
Yeah,
and we're getting farther than we've ever been.
Hey, maybe we sent our shows out to old Art Bell. Maybe he'd broadcast them for us out of his.
I think Art Bell took the turn in the road there, but
I don't know.
The rest of us are still out here.
I think he's just tired of the BS being attacked. Who knows?
Well, yeah. I'm Art's my friend. I just think he did it too long and lost his soul.
Yeah, you can get cynical, you know.
I mean soul as in you got soul, baby, you know. I mean, he lost his soul behind it. He lost the fire behind it. You know, he stopped becoming a believer in himself.
Yeah, could be.
And that happens. It's a long road. It's a long road up that mountain. You know, and you know, as we sort of bring tonight to a close, all I can really say to people is the most important thing you can do now is be forgiving, especially to yourself. Be compassionate, especially to yourself. And remember that whatever you put in your own temple is what you'll manifest around you. So, you know, how do we get through the changes? Be very allowing. Know who you are. If you don't know who you are, take the time to find out. It's worth it. And listen to your kids. They might have a couple of things that might surprise you to say. Kids are extremely intuitive. They haven't learned how to double talk yet.
Uh-huh.
Beyond that, there's a lot of bad stuff happening. No matter where you go, you're going to see it. But, you know, there's a lot of miracles happening. So maybe it's time we just start opening our eyes to the little things again. And see all the incredible things we're doing, you know. Unfortunately, they don't have a newspaper called Good News Times, you know. Because you look at the media. They tell the same negative story 28 times a day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like you know more about what's going on in the people inside than it's going on with.
Yeah, you don't hear about the good stuff. They just sell papers.
But, you know, it's happening. You just have to want it.
Yeah, our guest last week, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Jonathan Zapp, but he was an English teacher in the Bronx, and he says, hey, if you haven't been in the city in 20 years, he says, you wouldn't recognize it. He says, you got inner-city kids that are actually getting up and offering old people a seat to sit down on the subway. Did you ever dream you'd hear of that, Robert?
Not for a long time.
Uh-uh. And he says, things have really changed, and figure out how that happened. Well, on that note, I guess we'll thank you for being our guest.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye now.
Bye now.
See you.
Do we do it?
That's it. Hey, sure appreciate you guys.
Okay.
I'll catch you later.
We'll get a good night's sleep.
You betcha. Bye-bye now.
Love each other. Don't fight. Bye.
That's right. Bye-bye.
Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper, prophecy.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper.
of other times, let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper. Of another time, let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper,
prophecy keeper.
Oh. Like a lover's hand upon the heart, the very breath you gave me grows intently through the years.
And becomes an awesome dream.
So let the wind blow. Let the truth